And we're back. Folks, great to have you with us. It's Rush Limbaugh, the Excellence in Broadcasting Network, the Limbaugh Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies. I am America's anchorman, real anchorman, truth detector, doctor of democracy, all combined as one harmless, lovable little fuzzball. 800-282-2882, email address lrushbaugh@eibnet.com. At the top of the hour breaks, Nerdly said, what was the question you asked me? Oh, yeah. His question to me was, do you think most people don't get the concept of limited government because they've never seen it? And I said, well, partially, but I think it's more than that. 24/7, for I don't know how many years, the American people have been told how rotten their country is. They have been told how hopeless their future is. They have been told that the people who succeed in this country have somehow done it by hook or by crook. They have cheated, or they've had an unfair advantage. And the only reason they've got all the money that they do is because they've stolen it from everybody else. And there's basically no chance. The public education system, along with much higher education in this country, has for years and years, decades, taken our little skulls full of mush and told them how rotten the country is and how sinful it is. The multicultural curriculum has told them that we destroyed the great Indian civilizations, that we brought disease and pestilence, syphilis and this sort of thing, that we had slaves, and that we're basically an immoral people. And that we have a price to pay. They tell them that we steal the world's resources. We're only 3% of the population. The rest of the world's suffering because we're taking more than our share. You combine all that with the up and down economic cycles, and even in good economic times, it is not reported as good. It is reported as this isn't going to last. This is a bubble. This is all going to head south. We're heading to a recession soon. And people look at government as the one place that has an endless supply of money. And they see the government giving it away. And it just becomes easier to take a little bit from government than it does to work hard and get it yourself. Especially when that whole concept isn't being taught anymore. Great institutions like the Boy Scouts are under assault. All of these institutions and traditions that teach self-reliance and rugged individualism have been under assault and under siege for years because that leads to unequal outcomes. It's not fair that somebody should be smarter than somebody else and be able to use that additional intelligence for their advantage. No, what we need to do is make sure the people are not quite as smart as everybody else, have just as much, and the way we do that is not by lifting them up, by taking or punishing those who have more, be it intelligence, be it ambition, be it money, you name it. And so we've gotten ourselves into a circumstance here where so many pseudo-quasi-conservatives are so dispirited and defeated, particularly those in Washington. Remember what I said earlier about Washington? When you're in Washington, you want to be part of the power structure. What is that? Well, the current power structure, if you are a conservative journalist and you look out across your countryside, which is the nation's capital, all you see is government. That building, this building, and you see think tanks, and all they do is deal with government. You say, well, I want to matter here. So I got two presidential candidates. Okay, I'm going to go with McCain because if I really talk up McCain and I really sing McCain's praises, he might hire me. Either be a press secretary or, better yet, a policy advisor in his administration. And then after I finish that, I can really go out in the private sector and make big, big bucks. And then I forever get to go to the speechwriters convention. And then I get to go to all these little inside parties and so forth. It's all about the acquisition of power in one way or the other. So the so-called conservative intelligentsia, and so this is what was great about Bill Buckley, never caved, never gave up the fight, never gave up the intellectual battle against liberalism. Our side is beginning to do that. And rather than fight them intellectually, well, you know, they've won that. They've won this. So we're going to have to admit that, Mr. Limbaugh. We're going to have to admit they've won the global warming argument, and we're just going to have to, you know, get over there and tweak it, do what we can to limit the damage. Really? Well, how did we come to lose the argument? Maybe you guys weren't fighting it. Or maybe you got yourself aligned behind a candidate on our side who's also wrong on it. And you're afraid to make him mad because you want a job with him someday. So I have the solution. I wrote this down earlier this morning. Using the conservative intelligence, and I'm not just talking about our pseudo-media guys. I mean, I mentioned Jonah Goldberg the other day, wrote a column saying that McCain ought to pick Democrats as vice president. David Brooks has a column this week saying that Obama ought to pick Democrats. McCain ought to pick Democrats. Sounds like being Democrats the way to go. That's the way to reach people, isn't it? That's the way to go. So, using their guidance and using their thought processes, how about, ladies and gentlemen, if I were to announce today and use my powers as a Pied Piper over all of you mind-numbed robots to declare our support for Obama? For this reason. Some of the key issues that our candidate supports are signature issues of McCain. Obama and McCain are inseparable on key McCain signature issues. Fighting global warming. Closing Guantanamo Bay. This is something Obama and McCain both want to do these things now. Amnesty for illegal immigrants. Punishing the oil companies. These are key signature issues for McCain, and they're identical positions to those of Obama. But we would declare, saying, okay, we hear you. We hear you, conservative intelligentsia. We hear you, pseudo-conservative media types. We understand where you're going. We understand how to win. We support Obama because he would be far more effective in getting all of these signature things done with the Democrat Congress. If on these issues, fighting global warming, closing Gitmo, amnesty for illegal immigrants, punishing the oil companies. Let me rephrase. We're not fighting global warming. McCain and Obama are all for enlarging government to fight global warming. They both want to close Gitmo. They both want amnesty for illegals. It seems to me that the path we're headed down, since we want to accept the terminology of the left, and since we're supposed to accept the premises of the left, why not just become the left? Why not just become Democrats? If McCain's supposed to pick a Democrat VP, good, let's all become Democrats. If that's the way to go, if that's what our side's going to tell us to do, fine. We support Obama because he's going to be better at getting all these things done. I mean, our side's not going to fight him. Our side's going to be too small to fight these things inside the House and the Senate. So why do we want to vote and support somebody who will have less of a chance getting these things done than Obama would? Why are you frowning, Sturdley? Have I not made my point? Have I not made myself clear here? I have made myself clear. If the idea is to become the left and then tweak around the edges, if the idea is to accept their premise, well, why not just go all the way and vote Obama? And show the left how really good we are, and how really open-minded we are, how really big we are. I mean, global warming's a real thing, right? I mean, this hoax, a lot on our side believe it. Anyway, you get the point. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, the rest of the world's going conservative. France, Sarkozy has proposed massive government taxes on gasoline today. Germany, you name it. The rest of the world's going conservative, and we're not. Tax cuts. Sarkozy wants tax cuts, state tax cuts. Did I say increases? He said no, he wants tax cuts. Sarkozy wants massive state, federal tax cuts on gasoline in France. Childhood obesity rates have leveled off since 1999. I just saw that in the news today. Remember, that was going to give us even more. We needed more government to deal with fat slob kids. But it's leveled off since 1999 after increasing through the 80s and the 90s. Now, this doesn't mean the problem's over, according to the news media. So good news is never good news. But guess what? The world's not warming either. And it isn't going to warm in the next 10 to 12 years. They've been telling us this. And yet we're going to sit around and we're going to actually talk about adding more government control over our lives. It's absurd. It is silly. And if this is the way to go, then perhaps we ought to just all signal the fact we're going to vote Obama. I mean, we're all Democrats now. Yesterday we were all Mavericks. Today we're all Democrats. Back in a minute. You know, here it is again. I warned them yesterday. I told them yesterday, as long as they do speeches, the McCain camp, as long as they do speeches during this show, we're not going to play audio sound bites from it. And there's McCain now. He's doing a town meeting somewhere during this program. I finally figured out why. He does these appearances during this program so only Democrats will see his appearances. I keep forgetting the vote that he's pursuing. It's, you know what frustrates me about this? How right I am. It just. You ever get these moments in your family if only they would just listen to me? You know, but this conservatism stuff, what's happening to the Republican Party, sometimes I feel that way. Like, look at this. This is from Time Magazine's blog. How the Democrat nomination fight could go beyond next Wednesday. Really? Operation Chaos is why, but get this. If Clinton wants to go on after Tuesday's primaries, what will the arguments, actions be that will signal her determination? Well, number one, file a lawsuit. Or have somebody else file a lawsuit challenging the DNC's decision on Florida and or Michigan. Who was that suggested this? It was I, L. Rushbaugh, Commander-in-Chief, who told the Clintons if they were worth their salt, they would litigate this. 14th Amendment, Equal Protection Clause. And here Mark Halperin at Time has made it the number one suggestion that the Clintons do. From the Politico. Those people who believe all problems have solutions may be unfamiliar with the inner workings of the Democrat Party. This is Roger Simon. On Saturday, the party's Rules and Bylaws Committee will try to solve a big problem in order to avoid a huge problem, in order to prevent a train wreck. The big problem is what to do about Michigan and Florida. The Rules Committee will try to work out a compromise Saturday to try to seat those states in some form or fashion. It's going to be difficult. And the 30 members of the committee who will come from all over the country have been warned to keep their hotel rooms Saturday night because the meeting may go into Sunday. The huge problem is what happens if one side or another does not like the rules that the committee comes up with the compromise. And there are going to be all kinds of people showing up there to protest this. Florida delegation might go, the Michigan delegation might go. You know, general troublemakers might show up and raise hell. You know, the Democrats, this light at the end of the tunnel that they hope they see the end of, that's the train. That's the train heading right for them. And all this is happening because of Operation Chaos. And this is another frustrating thing. The Democrats are in the process of a serious self-implosion. And what do we got to take advantage of it? A bunch of conservative intelligentsia telling us to become like them. And we're doing a damn good job of it. We're seeing them implode. So we love what the Democrats do. Let's implode ourselves. So we're in the process of doing this. It's not a pleasant thing to watch, ladies and gentlemen, but it's happening. For the second time this year, a federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit filed by a Florida Democrat delegate angry over party rules that have threatened to keep Florida delegates from being seated at the upcoming Democrat convention. Once again, U.S. District Judge Richard Lazara, ruled today the DNC did not violate any laws in stripping Florida's delegates of their voting powers. DNC wins another one. I tell you, this is disenfranchisement. And, you know, they played this recount movie on Sunday and Monday night on HBO. Count all the votes. Every vote must count. They got all mad at the Supreme Court. They stopped the vote counting. Never mind the Florida Supreme Court, rogue court, writing new election rules from the bench. None of that mattered. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to get a nominee precisely by not counting all the votes. You got to love this. They are going to forever lose intellectually the attachment they have to the count every vote argument. They are, by hook or by crook, they're going to get Obama nominated if they have to not count all the votes. Mrs. Clinton ought to go out there and sue. Exactly what I said, on the basis of the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. Audio soundbite time here quickly. Obama, speaking at a town hall meeting in, where was this? It was in Las Vegas yesterday.
John McCain is having a different kind of meeting. He's holding a fundraiser with George Bush behind closed doors in Arizona. No cameras, no reporters, and we all know why. Senator McCain doesn't want to be seen, hat in hand, with the president whose failed policies he promises to continue for another 4 years.
That's one of the few sound bites I've heard in a long time from Obama where he didn't make a mistake. He actually got McCain's name right, got Bush's name right. But did I think the fundraiser, now wait a minute, the fundraiser was in Utah and McCain wasn't there. Or was this yesterday? Did McCain and Bush have a fundraiser yesterday in Arizona? Obama got that right? He really did? That is really news. By the way, I wonder if Barack Obama knows that Allen Brothers Meat, Allen Brothers Steaks, the great steakhouse steaks, I wonder if he knows that it's in Chicago. I asked this question some time ago. And I got an email response. Oh, not only does he know it, he's got a cousin who works or used to work at Allen Brothers. No, that can't possibly be. I said, probably not true anyway. By the way, a lot of people, everybody's asking me, by the way, how did my barbecue go? How do you think it went? I served Allen Brothers. You should have seen the spread. I even got grief. I got grief from people. You shouldn't have talked about it, Rush, in these recessionary times. You know, it just, especially when you said to people, just eat off your china and don't buy paper plates. Just eat off your regular plates. And I got grief about that because some people don't have regular plates. I said, who doesn't? Everybody showed up. Absolutely. I had people calling and asking if they could stop by after their other barbecues. Served the big Wagyu burgers, the big jumbo hot dogs, a couple of their desserts. Stuff is just amazing. It's barbecue season now, and it's Father's Day coming up. And I don't know what you're going to get your dad for his birthday or for Father's Day, but if I were you, I would give something he can sink his teeth into. Most dads, let's be honest, most dads, Father's Day, expect to get junk. They expect to get a card. Men don't care about cards. They expect to get a tie. They got every tie they want. Don't give them any underwear. They get all. Give them a certificate from Allen Brothers. Prime Steaks. Wagyu steak burgers, jumbo hot dogs, great desserts, stuff that you cannot get anywhere else except restaurants. Allen Brothers serves some of the finest steakhouses in the country. Go to their website, absteaks.com. You'll see all kinds of special Rush orders. You can call 800-260-0111 or visit absteaks.com. Canadian women are being asked to send their panties to Myanmar embassy in Ottawa to protest the actions of the country's military junta. The call for the underwear is part of the Panties for Peace campaign launched by rights activists in Montreal. Activists say the campaign is meant to send a message to Myanmar's junta, who reportedly fear contact with women's underwear will sap their power. Panties for peace, yeah. I mean, this is really going to help. This is classic leftism. Just do a bunch of stuff that doesn't mean, it's just absurd, stupid, ridiculous, embarrassing stuff that's not going to make one hill of beans difference to the process of getting aid to the people in the old Burma. The regime has violently... What do you mean, snurtly? They're not going to send us the panties. They're going to send the panties up to the embassy, the Burma embassy in Ottawa. How do they spell panties? Oh, how do they spell peace? They spelled that right, P-E-A-C-E. I know what you're thinking. I'm not going there. Panties for peace. Jeez. Okay, back to the phones. Elizabeth in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hey, Rush.
Hey.
How are you? I think you're ready for the rubber room.
The rubber room? You mean
the rubber room?
The padded room. Why?
Oh yeah, the padded room. This idea about voting for Obama. That's what the last thing I would ever do. He is such a communist. I can't even believe that you would even bring it up. I have my Rush Limbaugh fish tie from the 80s, and I'm willing to put it on you and stick you in the rubber room.
Now, come on, Elizabeth. Don't tell me you missed the whole monologue, and that's all you heard.
I didn't miss it. Oh, no, I listen to you every single day.
Well,
I have listened to you for a long time.
Don't you understand I'm being facetious to make a point?
But, you know,
We've got conservative media fallouts.
I know.
Telling us that that McCain is not Democrat enough on his own. No, he's got to go out and maybe nominate a Democrat for vice president. He's got to go out Sam Nunn or Lieberman or something. It seems to me if our side's saying the key to victory is be Democrat, let's go all the way and be Democrat. What the hell do we need McCain for if
we're
going to go?
No. You're getting as frustrated as the rest of the public that's out here listening to you and is starting to show. We really need to have you and other commentators that are conservative come up with legitimate alternatives to this mess that we're in.
Before that can happen, you have to have them aware of the problem. And I'm trying to alert them to the problem. And I've done it, I think, brilliantly.
Oh, you've done
it. You think I'm ready for the padded room.
Well, if that's your only alternative you can come up with today, you bet. You and,
No, it's not the only alternative for crying. Let me give you, it's real simple. That's the real frustrating thing here, Elizabeth. It's real simple. I hear all these Republicans talking about how the brand is bad. The Republican brand has gone south, and we need to get rid of Reagan. The era of Reagan is over. Reaganism is over. The libs ever said the era of FDR is over? The era of JFK is over? The liberals won't even say the era of Jimmy Carter is over. They're not even embarrassed about that, because they're going to nominate a guy who's going to give us Carter's second term. The answer, Elizabeth, is conservatism. Let's just go back to conservatism as the primary identity of the Republican Party. Look, a conservative media is fabulous. A conservative media is great. And who knows where we'd be without it. But we don't have any votes. Conservatism is like any other ideology. It needs empowerment via a political party. And the Republican Party is made up of a bunch of right now country club Republicans and former Democrats who became conservative for a while. Now they want to go back to their Democrat roots. They still call themselves conservatives, trying to redefine new conservatism. And so they're trying to redefine the Republican Party as a bunch of Rockefeller country club Republicans. And they think with candidates like McCain, with a Democrat vice president nominee, is the way to win. The solution to this? Conservatism. But this is why I did my brilliant lengthy monologue earlier about what's so difficult for conservatism to survive intact in Washington because of the Washington culture. The Washington culture is built to destroy conservatism. We need people with steel as spines when they go there. It's tough to find. There aren't that many Reynoldus Magnuses. Anyway, Elizabeth, thanks for the call. Who's next? Pablo in Las Vegas. Hi, Pablo. Nice to have you on the EIB network.
El Rushbo. Ho.
Hey.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a libertarian who voted for Bush, but I won't vote for McCain because it's a matter of conscience.
So
but I am.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm a member of an op for chaos.
And so what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to do whatever you say, basically. I just can't bring myself to vote for McCain.
Uh-huh. Well, what if I told you to vote Obama?
That's classic. If you were serious, I'd do it. But I think you've hit just the right tone with your comments on McClellan today. I had a comment about that when this story broke. I never liked Scott McClellan. Half of it was that he didn't seem like the sharpest tool in the shed, and the other half was my instincts told me something was wrong.
Well, that's interesting. I just never thought his. I don't want to sit here and bash McClellan. That's, you know, tit for tat's not the way to do this. I mean, I never thought he was that great at what he did, but there's far more than that here going on. Look, I appreciate the call out there, Pablo. Nice to have you with us. You want to hear some? You want to hear some conservatism? Václav Klaus, President, Czech Republic, yesterday, National Press Club, trying to warn everybody in America that we are being hoaxed with global warming and Al Gore. Here is the first of several bites we have from the President of the Czech Republic, Václav Klaus.
I spent most of my life under the communist regime, which ignored and brutally violated human freedom and as I remember quite well, wanted to command not only the people, but also the nature. To command wind and rain is one of the famous slogans I remember since my childhood. In the past, it was in the name of the masses or of the proletariat, this time in the name of the planet. Structurally, it is very similar. The current danger, as I see it, is environmentalism, and especially its strongest version, climate alarmism.
Václav Klaus, who grew up under communism, is telling us that he sees it all over again in the environmental movement. Here's the next bite.
We are now at the stage where mere facts, reason, and truth are powerless in the face of the global warming propaganda. We have probably and regretfully already reached that stage. Now, the whole process is already in the hands of those who are not interested in rational ideas and arguments. It is in the hands of climatologists and other related scientists who are highly motivated to look in one direction only, because a large number of academic careers has evolved around the idea of man-made global warming. It is farther in the hands of politicians who, through the manipulation of people, maximize the number of votes they seek to get from the electorate.
And here he describes, Václav Klaus, President, Czech Republic, here he describes the real aim of the environmentalist movement.
The Green Movement is trying to dictate, control, regulate, mastermind our lives. You know, this is what we see every day. They want to discuss how many children we can have because the man is a creature which damages the atmosphere because of breathing. They are dictating us what kind of cars we can use, how big the refrigerators we can have. I speak as someone who lived in a communist era and who knows what it means to eliminate freedom, as someone who knows what it means to eliminate the market economy, someone who knows what it means to regulate, to command, to mastermind the economy from above.
A question said, do you see any dangers to the environment out there, Mr. President?
I don't believe that man is destroying the planet, and environmentalism is based not on small issues of saving electricity here in the National Press Club or of cleaning one pond or lake water. That's not environmentalism. Environmentalism is an ideology which wants to control the world.
See, he's speaking on one level in his report. Well, is there any environmental damage? I mean, don't you admit to any, Mr. President? See, he's a reform communist, therefore he's the enemy to the National Press Club. The next question: if you found yourself on an airplane sitting next to Al Gore, what do you think you'd talk about?
I met him in the past many times, so there will be not a special question. I many times tried to talk, to have a public exchange of views with him, and he's not too much willing to make such a conversation, so I'm ready to do it.
What he's saying is Al Gore won't debate his side, because it wouldn't stand up. Now, this next bite, this perhaps is the piece de resistance. Last night on Fox News Channel's special report with Brit Hume, during the panel discussion, the All-Stars, Britt Hume spoke with Juan Williams about Václav Klaus. And Hume said, do you think Klaus is on the right track here, or that he's an alarmist in the other direction?
What he's saying is really interesting to me. I haven't thought this through, but he's saying it's now beyond the scientists. He is saying, in fact, that it's an ideology that's seeking to really take control of the world. It's going to tell us how to live, what cars to drive, whether you can have a refrigerator and all that. And suggest that it would somehow go beyond politics in not the way that suggests, oh, we have a green movement that everybody gets behind, but in fact would have political consequence, not unlike a dictatorship. In all honesty, it struck me as something different. I had not heard this line of argument before because I've never felt threatened by an environmentalist. I think my consciousness is raised.
I'm speechless. This is so typical. Here is a learned man. Juan Williams is a smart guy. And only yesterday has he ever heard somebody suggest that the environmental movement is not about environmentalism, that it's about large government, total control, dictatorial powers. He doesn't see for his own with his own eyes that they're trying to wipe out SUVs. He doesn't see that they've banned light bulbs. He doesn't see that people can't turn on their lights at night 9 months a year for some turtles? He doesn't see any of this? He does not see the effort that is being made to not become energy independent with oil in our own country? He doesn't see this? Thank God Václav Klaus showed up and opened his eyes. But for crying out loud, Juan, turn on the radio here. We've been on this for 20 years. Okay, now remember, we're going to listen to Fox News All-Stars here. The Fox News All-Stars commenting on what you just heard Václav Klaus. Just heard Juan Williams say, I never thought of that. I never thought that environmentalism was about controlling my life. I never met an environmentalist I didn't like. Up next was Nina Easton. Here's what she said she thought.
I thought it was alarmism. When he says climate or freedom, I didn't feel my freedom threatened after watching the rivers burn in the 70s and we had the Clean Water Act and growing up in Los Angeles, which, you know, I choked, and, you know, and getting the Clean Air Act. When he says climate or freedom, let's not forget freedom. The biggest problem now is our dependency is in the U.S. is the biggest national security issue. The biggest freedom issue is our dependence on foreign oil. Freedom issue, not the question of whether we're going to have more environmental controls.
Gosh, I like Nina Easton. This is so hard. Nina, who do you think is standing in the way of us getting our own oil? The very people Václav Klaus is talking about, Nina. It is about making sure this country is not energy independent. Think of the additional freedoms and lower prices we would have, Nina, if we could get our own oil. Oh, Fox All-Stars. There is hope, however, ladies and gentlemen. Over on CNBC, yesterday afternoon, Street Signs, the show, the street sweetie, Aaron Burnett, spoke with Jim Cramer. Cramer says, home builders go out of business, banks go out of business, and yet we sit here and we worry every minute. This used to be like dominoes. You go out of business, another business starts.
People like Rush Limbaugh talk about this. In the playground, you know how everybody has to be a winner and nobody's ever a loser?
True.
But sometimes you have to learn to lose.
Somebody listens to this program in the drive-by media. The street sweetie, Aaron Burnett, somebody loses. And she's right. We can't have recess anymore because we can't play games in recess. Can't do it. Can't do tag. Can't do dodgeball. Somebody might lose. We don't keep scoring softball. We don't keep scoring football because we don't want to know who lost. And guess what? It's spread into the real world. A bank goes out of business. No, it doesn't. We'll prop it up. Small business goes out of business. Too bad, pal. You're out of business. Here's your final tax bill. Who's next? Jeremy in Seattle. Jeremy, I have 1 minute. Can you squeeze it in?
Yeah, I'll squeeze it as fast as I can. Bottom line is, you know what? Everything that we hate about what liberalism does has done to our education might be able to be a factor in its undoing. It's made weak parents. It's made lazy parents. And if we can re-educate and we can start private education or something that would be free, at least until public education went bankrupt, we really have a chance because parents would send their kids, even if they didn't believe in the ideology that a conservative school would put forth, if they were producing better
I like the idea. I love the idea. It's been tried. A couple people have tried it. It didn't quite work. Might have been before its time. But look at even that. Even the great Subway sandwich shop chain has just eliminated homeschoolers from, I think, an essay contest where they might win some prize. For the obvious reasons. They'd win. We'll be back in just a second. Thank you, Mr. Snerdley. It was a very good show today. Even though some of the callers think I'm ready for the little men in the white coats coming to take me away to the padded rooms. Already Thursday tomorrow, we'll be back, revved up, ready to go. See you then. Thanks for being with us today.